and this is what we're reading. Late Minnesota author John Hassler left his footprints all over northern Minnesota, Fauston, Bemidji, Park Rapids, Brainerd. He also left behind a legacy of novels such as Staggerford, Grand Opening, The Staggerford Murders, and Rookery Blues, as well as children's books, nonfiction works, and short story collections, all capturing the essence of the heartland. And now, author Ed Block gives us the first book-length study of Hassler's life and work. His new book is John Hassler, Voice of the Heartland. Ed is a professor emeritus at Marquette University in Milwaukee, where he taught several of John Hassler's books in his English classes, and Ed joins us now to tell us about how this book came about.
Well, I taught Staggerford, his first novel, to education majors at Marquette University back in the early 90s. They didn't like reading about a burnt-out high school teacher, but by the time we got through with it, they generally liked it. After that, I read A Green Journey and Dear James, again in the early 90s. I brought John Hassler to Marquette in 1996 to do a reading. He also sat in on this class for education majors that I was teaching in that particular fall semester. Right after that, I interviewed him for Image Magazine. That was just about the time that he was making it known that he had what he called rigid Parkinson's disease, which later became more accurately diagnosed as supranuclear palsy. And that's what he struggled with from the mid-90s until he died in 2008.
Did you remain in correspondence with John Hassler after you first met when he visited your classroom?
Yes. We'd get periodic letters from him or from his good friend Joseph Plutt, who had taught with him at Brainerd Community College, now Central Lakes Community College. Joseph Plutt was a legend there, and Joseph was working on conversations with John Hassler, talking about nine of his 11 novels, and Joseph wanted me to publish these conversations in the journal Renaissance, Essays on Values in Literature, that I was editing at the time. And so I was either in correspondence with John directly, or I was in correspondence with Joseph Plutt about John and his work as it was proceeding. So, yes, I think the last time I probably got a letter from him was early 2000s. It was all in capital letters. I still have the letter, all in capital letters. It was from Agatha McGee, supposedly. Agatha McGee was describing Dr. Parkinson, who was giving John Hassler, the author, a hard time, and talking about how he would make him fall and things like that. So it was a kind of humorous update on the course of his disease at that point. That was probably the last time I got a letter from John.
What about John Hassler's work made him the voice of the heartland?
Well, and I was thinking about that. I can't think of another Midwestern novelist who portrays or captures everyday life in the heartland as well as Hassler does. It's with humor, with satire, but also deep understanding.
John Hassler has works that range from his first novel in 1977 to a book of nonfiction he wrote in 2004. Mm-hmm. How did you see him grow as a writer throughout those decades?
The book talks about him as being a natural storyteller, and the Irish element in it, the Irish element is, I think, more and more important. If, as I hope there will be more people returning to John Hassler, maybe they can bring this Irish element out a little more than I do. But as a natural storyteller, in one sense, his storytelling remains the same. He's the same storyteller throughout. But he also continued to experiment. He loved writing. He loved revising. He said, first drafts are hard. I have a difficult time with first drafts. Second drafts, I wish I could always write second drafts. There's that humor in the way he puts that. But he did continue to experiment with flashbacks, with digressions, with point of view. Hassler, from the very start, would move the point of view around to different characters, often with the effect of letting the reader know more about each of the characters than the characters themselves know. So he was continuing to experiment. He also had a way of using TV and movie techniques to advantage. Now, you watch TV these days, you know, a story will go, you'll see one part of a story, and then suddenly it'll switch to another story, a different set of characters, and then you move back to the other characters. That's what he does in A Green Journey, for instance, where several chapters will be in Staggerford, Minnesota, and then a few chapters with Agatha McGee in Ireland, where she's going to find her pen pal. And then we're back in Staggerford, and then we're back to Ireland. That keeps moving, keeps it interesting. All the while, he keeps using current issues, current events, and real human suffering and joy. So, a natural storyteller, but he did continue experimenting.
You're listening to What We're Reading and our conversation with writer Ed Block. Ed's new book is called John Hassler, Voice of the Heartland, A Critical Appraisal of His Work. Ed, for someone new to John Hassler, what book would you recommend they start with?
Tammy, a lot of people have asked me that recently as I've been going around doing these mini book tours and things of that sort. For anyone with Irish background, definitely to start with Agatha McGee in A Green Journey. And you got to read that one first before Dear James. Don't do it in reverse order. For those from small towns, Grand Opening. Grand Opening is probably Hassler's best-known novel. A number of them got reviewed in the New York Times Book Review, but I think Grand Opening, for some reason, caught people's attention. It was, the end of World War II, the last year of World War II in the fictional town of Plum, Minnesota, which is really Plainview. And that would be for people who remember small town life however many years ago. For seniors, I would say Simon's Night, which I'm currently rereading. It's about a retired fellow and all the fears and anxieties about, I'm getting old, I'm losing my memory. I left my car in the Twin Cities. And he goes back and he visits the Mall of America, basically. It's called the Olympus Mall in the novel, but it is just absolutely hilarious. For those with a taste for the soap opera, and there's a little bit of soap opera in a lot of the novels as I was writing, I'm thinking, John, this is awful soap opera-ish. Can't we move on to the more serious stuff? But The Love Hunter is a kind of a domestic relationships novel. It was supposed to be his breakthrough novel, partly because it's the first novel that involves a real love interest. It's a love triangle, actually. For northern dwellers with a longing for a deeply moving and often troubling experience, I'd say North of Hope, which is almost his longest novel. He said it was the first novel he wrote using a word processor, and that's why it got so long. I think we all know how that can happen. So,
now, Ed, do you have a favorite John Hassler book?
Yes. I continue to think that North of Hope is his best work and probably still my favorite. It too, is a kind of family chronicle. It's not like Beyond the Bedroom Wall, because it's the one character, Frank Healy. We see him as a teenager. His mother died suddenly, and her last words supposedly were, "I'd like Frank to be a priest." That's conveyed to Frank through a friend of his mother, Eunice Pfeiffer. And so Frank goes off to become a priest, and for 25 years he's a priest. I've jumped over a good part of the teenage years, which is the first part of the book, but then suddenly 25 years into his priesthood, he is reunited with his close friend. It was never a romantic relationship in high school. A young woman by the name of Libby Girard, who is now on her third husband and whose daughter by her first marriage is being severely abused. And it's touching. It's moving. Frank does what he can to help Libby and her daughter, Verna. And then that's the last two-thirds two-thirds of the novel is Frank struggling to help his high school friend and her daughter, and even as Libby continues to want the relationship to become more than just a friendship. So that's, and there you can see the kind of soap opera dimension to that. In fact, as I introduce it, I say it sounds like a melodramatic sort of thing you might see on TV, but it's oh so much more than that.
Right. Let's localize this. It's pretty well known that Hassler spent some time in the Bemidji and Brainerd areas. Can you tell us more about that?
Hassler spent 3 years at Bemidji State from 1965 to 1968. I refer to it briefly in my biographical chapter, but people can read more about it in the Whimsical Roots section of his nonfiction memoir. He never really wrote a memoir, but Loyola Press in Chicago encouraged him to do something that he ended up calling Good People from an Author's Life. And there are a series of chapters of recollections of early life, his life, you know, growing up and then going to St. John's University, his early teaching and so on. And the Whimsical Roots is about six teaching friends at Bemidji State. He also dedicated his second book. So he had finished Stagerford and he got right into Simon's Night, and he dedicates it to James Casper, a colleague at Bemidji State, who I believe is the Jay Johnson, is a good friend of the chief character, but who dies of cancer in the course of the novel. I believe that was what happened to James Casper as well. And then Bemidji State comes back in, kind of combined with what was then Brainerd Community College, as sources for Rookery Blues and The Dean's List, his two campus novels that he wrote in the later 90s. I reviewed Rookery Blues for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel when it came out, and that was just a further boost to keep me reading and writing about John Hassler.
Now, the cover of John Hassler, Voice of the Heartland,
yeah,
has a very beautiful painting on it.
Yes.
And I can see at the very bottom,
yes,
it says Hassler written.
That's
in.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
did he
right.
do that?
Yes. When he began writing, he was also simultaneously doing oils and acrylics. I don't think he ever did watercolor. I've got some charcoal drawings of his of some northern scenes. Anyway, he would do these paintings and try to sell them at malls and craft art fairs around the state. I think that's partly where he got to dislike malls. The picture of Olympus Mall in Simon's Night, I think, is kind of getting rid of some of the angst about those malls that he used to frequent as he sold his artwork. Yes, he had many paintings. There was an auction of them a few years after his death. But yes, he was an artist as well as an author.
Ed Block's new book is John Hassler, Voice of the Heartland, a critical appraisal of his work, published through Noden Press in Minneapolis. Come